Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. It is good to have you here at Renewing the Center. Today we're going to be in the gospel, actually Mark 14, and we're going to sit with Peter in the courtyard as he is denying Jesus, watching Jesus's arrest and the beginnings of his trial. And this is a low point, the lowest point I would imagine in Peter's life. And we're going to look at today the idea of how we are meant to reckon with failure and with disillusionment. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you're talking about." And then he went out into the forecourt, and then the cock crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them," but he denied it again. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you're one of them, for you are Galilean." His accent, I think, was giving him away. But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man you are talking about." At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time, and then Peter remembered what Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, we ask you to help us. God, for many of us, I know this is true for me, it is hard for us to sit with failure, to confront failure. And I pray, God, that as we do our very best in this moment to look at and to sit with Peter's failure, I pray, God, that you would give us the courage to see how we're meant to hold our own failures, God. God, just remind us, I pray, that whether we will fail or not, that's non-negotiable. Of course we will. It's what we do with failure, God. I pray that you would work redemption in us just like you did in your friend Peter. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to walk us through this story so that we really maybe have the grace and the ability to enter into the story, to try to be there with Peter. So Peter has followed Jesus into the courtyard, and I can't even imagine how he felt. Jesus has just been arrested, and Peter, in his own mind, probably feels that he has failed to protect Jesus. We're told in one of the Gospels that when Jesus was arrested in the Mount of Olives, that Peter pulled out his sword to protect Jesus and cut off the ear of a servant who was in the crowd there to arrest Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Put away your sword, Peter." And he had put away his sword, but in doing so, he had failed to protect Jesus. And now Jesus is in the hands of the very men who will kill him. And I find it really moving, actually, that in the midst of all of that, as they lead Jesus away, and now Peter knows that Judas was a part of the process. He had seen one of his friends, one of his colleagues, his co-workers, lead the soldiers and kiss Jesus. I mean, this would have just been so, so hard. And now Peter is following at a distance. And I think about that sometimes as just like a metaphor for what we do sometimes in our life with God. You know, we are feeling confused and we're feeling afraid, and yet we still want to follow God, but we're maybe following at a greater distance. We're not sure what to do or how to be. We're not sure whether it's safe even to be there. And Peter's got to be in this moment feeling all kinds of things. Devastation, confusion, some regret. Probably if we understand Peter like I think we do, he's probably thinking, "I should have just done more. I should have kept the sword in my hand. I shouldn't have listened to Jesus. He needed me and I failed him." And just prior to these words that we read today, Jesus has been accused and he has answered. The high priest accuses him a couple of times and questions him. And then we hear these words just before what we read. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And after Jesus said those words, Peter, from a distance, is able to witness the priest tear his garments, and he's then able to see soldiers and others in the crowd spit on Jesus, hit Jesus, mock Jesus. And it's at that very point, after Jesus now is being abused, that our passage picks up. And a child, like a powerless child, a little girl, says to him, "You were with him." And Peter denies it. And I can only imagine that if Peter is in that courtyard feeling regret about not doing more, about not showing up, not being stronger, not being more brave, then when this child says to him, "You were with him," it's in that moment that Peter has an opportunity to rise to the occasion, and he doesn't. His courage falters. He immediately acts in self-preservation. And I just want to invite you to consider how real the threat and the temptation of self-preservation is when you are under stress and when you are underwater. And I want you to find it in Peter as you look for it in yourself. He saves himself in this moment. He says, I wasn't with him. I don't even know what you're talking about. Now, if you had asked Peter 2 days before this, maybe if you had asked him at the Passover when Jesus says, "The one who will betray me is here sharing this meal," and Peter's like, "Not me. I would never, ever do that." Peter would have never thought that this was would be his response and his reaction. He actually says those words. He's like, "If everybody fails you, I won't fail you. I'll be here, Jesus, to the very end." And I think when Peter pulled his sword out in the garden, he was showing Jesus in his own mind that this is how brave he is. And now a little girl asks him a question and Peter can't answer it. And then a crowd gets involved. And so the circle of his failure now is stretching beyond a little girl to now bystanders, we're told, and they say, "We can tell by your accent, like we can tell by your clothing, your style, your mannerism, that you were with the Jesus guy." And he says, "I don't know him. I don't know." And then it gets worse. He swears an oath. He calls down a curse. He says, essentially, "I'll be damned if I know who he is." And I just want to ask you to find the places in your own heart and your own life where you can identify with Peter. Where has your courage faltered? Where have you failed not only God, but failed yourself? You know, got to a moment where you just don't show up the way you thought you would show up. Peter's lack of courage, he fails with regard to fidelity, and that lack of courage and that failure of fidelity, it grows and grows and grows. It becomes ultimately observable by a crowd of people. And this is the way that I've experienced failure in my own life. Failure of fidelity oftentimes starts in a very private way, and over time it grows. More and more others have access to the faltering, and then the shame comes and the embarrassment comes. And oftentimes, if you are wired like Peter, you double down until you realize that you can't get out of it. Peter fails, and he fails publicly. And at the end of the day, almost all of our failures end up being public, because it's in community that we're loved, and it's also in community that we're shamed and that we're hurt and that our brokenness manifests. Brokenness is never, ever purely private. Our sin is never, ever purely individual. It always ends up leaking out into wider contexts. And that's what happens to Peter, and I think it's what happens to you. It's what happens to me. And then we're told in one gospel, I think it's John's, that at the moment that Peter denies for the third time, that Jesus looks at him from across the courtyard. We're not told that in Mark, but the sentiment is there. Jesus had told Peter, "You will fail." And Peter remembers. And there's something about that that I think is actually really important, and maybe something that you and me, that we need to hear and we need to hold. It's not whether or not you're going to fail. It's when. And there's a sense in which we are invited to accept failure and faltering as a part of what it means to be a fallen and finite creature who lacks confidence and under pressure will default occasionally to self-preservation. And Jesus had told Peter this. And I think that Jesus actually wants to tell you that same thing. He wants us to know that failure is a part of the story. It's a part of your story as a fallen and finite creature. And yet he knows. Jesus knew that Peter was going to falter. He knew that when the moment came, the critical moment came, that Peter would not have what it took within himself in order to be faithful and to do the very thing that he thought he was capable and would actually do. So the question isn't whether you're going to fail. The question isn't whether you're going to falter and whether other people are going to be aware of it. The answer to those questions is yes, you will fail. Others will be aware. I think the question is, what is going to happen after? And there's a real interesting contrast here. Judas failed in a manner more dramatic than Peter's failure, but not totally dissimilar. And yet, when Judas is confronted by his failure, he ends his life. And when Peter is confronted by his failure, he weeps. I think one gospel tells us that Peter goes out, he leaves and weeps. Weeping over your failures can be a first step to healing. For the longest time, I struggled to acknowledge parts of my own failure for fear that the shame of it all would be overwhelming, that it would crush me. And so part of my coping strategy was just to live in places of denial or always tell myself a story about how good my motives were, what I meant to do, what I was struggling with, and why I maybe acted or said or did the thing or failed to do the thing that I knew that I should have done. But I think that what Peter does is actually the most redemptive thing. He doesn't pretend that he hasn't failed, but he also doesn't allow himself to collapse in the failure. Failure doesn't end him as it does Judas. He sees his failure. He weeps over his failure. And that weeping, I think, is a way for Peter to step into reality. And as I read Peter and I am aware of his character and his personality, I think probably being in reality was not an easy thing for Peter to do or to be. I think that there was always a sense of trying to make himself bigger than he was or trying to be more brave than he actually was. And so for Peter, maybe the most real and courageous thing that he could do in this moment was to simply acknowledge the failure. As John tells us, catch Jesus's eye and weep. The Lord wants you and me to be aware of our failures and our finitude so that he can move us through failure, so that he can restore us and re-engage us and heal us. And so I want to invite you today to open up your heart and your imagination to the fact that God wants you to move through failure. And may he give you tears over the places maybe that you've struggled to acknowledge. I believe that's a big part of the process of renewal in our lives. God bless you. Go in peace. Amen.